All right, good evening, everyone. So we continue tonight in Tefillah. So just to orient ourselves a little bit to where we're holding, we find ourselves tonight focusing on the seventh bracha in Shmona Esrei. I actually realized we're going to have a little bit of a shorter shir tonight. I realized we're going to start to double up, I think, on some of the brachos, try to maybe accomplish two a week to be able to move things through a little bit. But tonight we'll get home a little bit earlier, Mirtz Hashem. So just to orient ourselves a little bit, we began the Bakasha section, which, remember, again, we spent the first couple of shirim speaking about the Shevach, speaking about the praise section of Shmona Esrei, and then ultimately launching from there into the section of supplication. So we spoke about Atachonin La'adam Da'as, the need ultimately for Bina, for intellect. We then went to Hashivinu Avinu L'Sara Secha. We asked for Tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring us back to Him. And last week we focused on Slicha, the concept of forgiveness, where we spent the bulk of our time actually focusing on a piece from the Rav, where we focus on the distinction between Slicha and Mechila. This notion that ultimately when one sins, there are really two ruptures in the man-God relationship. There's the issue of Onesh, the issue of punishment, and there's the issue of the fact that sin fundamentally changes our identity. And so in the bracha of Slicha, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Slicha and Mechila. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go ahead and be Mochel, to give up His right to extract punishment from us. And we also ask Him for Slicha, which is the ability to really help us purge our identity of the negative fallout from sin. So this brings us now to the seventh bracha in Shmona Esrei. So our series is sponsored by Richard Simon in memory of his grandmother, Elka Freida Baschana. Allah Hashem will help them in the merit of our Talmud Torah. Her Neshama will have an aliyah. And also to thank the Toso family for sponsoring the series, as well as memory of Karen's father, Eli Gershon ben Feivel HaKohen Zichron LeBrach. And we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his Neshama will have an aliyah as well. So let's begin with number one. Re'ei Ba'anyenu. Literally, we say now again, remember, this is the seventh bracha that is called the bracha of Geula, the bracha of redemption. Re'ei ba'anyenu, look at our affliction. V'riva rivenu, fight our fight. U'ge'alinu mehira l'man shemecha, and redeem us speedily for your name's sake. L'man shemecha ki goel chazok ato, because you are a powerful redeemer. Baruch ato Hashem goel Yisrael. Blessed are you, Hashem, Redeemer of Israel. So what's the topic of this particular bracha? All right, so redemption, we know. But the obvious question becomes, redemption from what? What are we asking God to be redeemed from? So if you look at number two, there's a Rashi Maseches Megillah. This is the Gemara, actually, if you remember, we mentioned the idea that this Gemara Megillah, I actually quoted not this last series, when we did Tefillah maybe about a year ago. So he mentioned the fact that the Gemara Megillah records that the Shmona Esrei was instituted by a man by the name of Shimon HaPakuli. So Pakuli means what? Pakuli can mean another. Pakuli can mean that was the name of the place that he was from. Really, what the way that the etymological source of Pakuli actually seems to be a cotton merchant. Shimon the cotton merchant. Now, what's interesting about this is the following. I mentioned this when we learned this last time. It's always fascinating to see how many of the great sages of the Talmud had a job. They had a day job. And now, by the way, not just any day job. What was fascinating is what? They were manual laborers, meaning they were farmers, they were shoemakers, they were cotton merchants. They had all of these. So what's amazing, just not, this could be another topic for a different time, but what's fascinating about this is very often we assume that what we have to do between 9 and 5 is an exemption from accomplishing great things in Torah, great things in spirituality. It doesn't have to be an either or. A person could go ahead and be very successful or gainfully employed in the world and still go ahead and accomplish incredible, exceptional things in Torah. So I think I mentioned, we've quoted from the Torah Tamima. Torah Tamima was written by Rav Baruch Epstein, who was a son of the author of the Aruch HaShulchan. If I mention this, you'll stop me. You won't stop me because you're nice. I'll say it again anyway. So remember, the Torah Tamima, if you've ever seen it, it's a commentary on Chumash, but it's not your typical Mefarish. The Torah Tamima, what Rav Epstein did was, he went through the Chumash, and then he pulled out every relevant Gemara or relevant Medrash that quotes that pasuk. So for example, if you ever want to see where a particular phrase in the Torah goes ahead and shows up in the Gemara and Medrash, you open up Torah Tamima And I'll quote to you. The Torah Tamima, Rav Epstein, was a very successful banker. He did not want to take a paid position in the Jewish community because he understood that when you are paid by the community often thinks that they own you. And the community, I mean, things Baruch Hashem are very different today, so nobody's like that today. Right? But the community. So what he did is he went ahead and he was a very successful banker, a very wealthy and successful banker. When did he write the Torah Tamima? During his lunch break. During his lunch break. So it's amazing. You think about what you could accomplish in 45 minutes or an hour every single day. Obviously, you could only do that if you spent your time developing yourself as a Talmud Chacham. But just as an aside, it's amazing to see how so often the things that occupy so much of our time that we think are the reasons why we can't become spiritually or Judaically proficient are not real obstacles, because other people had them also, and yet were able to overcome them. In any event, the Gemara Maseches Megillah talks about the fact that Shimon HaPakuli, Shimon the cotton merchant, arranged Shmona Esrei. Why is that not problematic, but why is that interesting? Because the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, writes that who created Shmona Esrei? Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the Great Assembly. Now understand, the men of the Great Assembly, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, was the rabbinic body that was very active pretty much at the end of First Temple era into Second Temple era. You know, we know this because, for example, who was the last remaining member of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah? Shimon HaTzadik. Right? Shimon HaTzadik was a Kohen Gadol during the Second Temple era, was one of the last remaining members of the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. So how do you reconcile these two views? Remember, Shimon HaPakuli is much earlier. He's already First Temple era, earlier Temple era. So how do you reconcile these two? So remember again, we actually quoted the idea that perhaps it's not a contradiction. Shimon HaPakuli went ahead and instituted Shmona Esrei, and then what happened? It was forgotten. Why was Shmona Esrei forgotten? Why was Shmona Esrei forgotten? The trauma of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. You know, when we speak about the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, we often look at it just as the loss of a structure. But remember again, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and this is both the First Temple and Second Temple, although it was much more dramatic Second Temple, is Jewish life was turned on its head. Jewish existence was turned on its head. There were things that were forgotten. There were things that became a little bit clouded, more ambiguous. So according to some, what literally happened is we have Shmona Esrei, Shimon HaPakuli, the Churban, destruction of the Beis HaMikdash occurs, Shmona Esrei is forgotten, if you can imagine such a thing. And Anshei Knesset HaGedolah came around and what? Reinstituted it afterwards. So I'm sharing this with you because the Gemara Maseches Megillah goes through the entire Shmona Esrei and discusses why each bracha is where it is. Because obviously the order is not happenstance, it's not random. And the Gemara quotes different psukim that links different ideas. So in the middle of this whole sugya, Rashi says something very interesting. Look at number two. Rashi says, actually commenting on our bracha for tonight, the seventh bracha of Shmona Esrei, right? Rashi says, Va'af al gav, dahai geula, lav geula digolosi. You see, when we normally speak about redemption, we normally associate that with what? With like a messianic redemption. We normally associate it with the fact that we're in Golos, we're in diaspora, and so we dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu to extract us from our current circumstances and to redeem us. Rashi says the bracha that we quoted in number one has nothing to do with national redemption, has nothing to do with being redeemed from Golos and being taken from Eretz Yisrael. Ella, so what are we asking for? First of all, why does Rashi say that? Why does Rashi say that? Because if you skip just for a moment, Rashi a little bit later, Daha birchas kibbutz ubinyan Yerushalayim v'tzemach David yeshlochol achos v'achos brochol yatzma levad negu luzu. So Rashi makes a very interesting observation. I should have really put this on your sheet, but Rashi says, for example, we say, t'kabishofar gadol l'cherusim v'sonis t'kabitz kaliosinu. Sound the great shofar for our freedom, raise the banner to gather our exiles, and gather us together from the four corners of the earth. Baruch atah Hashem mekabetz nidchei amo Yisrael. Blessed are you, God, who gathers in the dispersed of His people. So here you have an explicit bracha that speaks about national redemption in gathering of the exiles. He says, for example, as v'Yerushalayim ircha berachamim toshuv, rebuilding Jerusalem. That's talking about national redemption. As samach David avdecha meiras atzmiach, restoration of Davidic dynasty. That ultimately is, again, national salvation. So Rashi says, this bracha that we're quoting in number one, where we ask God to redeem us, has nothing to do with national or messianic salvation. So what does it have to do with? Look at Rashi. Now go back to the first line of number two, middle of that first line. Rashi says, Ella, I mean number two, middle of the first line, right after the comma, Ella, sheyigalenu min hatzaros haba'os aleinu tamid. What are we asking for in this particular bracha? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should redeem us from what? From our tzaros. Whose tzaros? Our personal tzaros. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I've got problems. I've got serious problems. I've got, you know, it's interesting. And tzara is not just a problem. Tzara is a serious problem. So he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please redeem me from the tzaros that I encounter on a continuous fashion. I'm always running into tzaros. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me. Which leads us to the obvious question, which is, what type of tzaros exactly are we referring to? So here's what we have so far. We know, and what's interesting is, I think many people misunderstand this bracha. I think often people assume that this is also national redemption, messianically oriented. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a nation, we suffer. Because remember, it can be a little bit misleading because it's phrased how? Plural. Now remember, don't be misled by that, because all of Shemona Esrei is in the plural. Why is all of Shemona Esrei in the plural? Because remember, true meaningful prayer experience only takes place in the collective. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be davening with a group of people. The amazing dynamic of tefillah is you might be saying it in your living room. You might be saying it in your dining room. You might be saying it in your wherever a person has a chance to daven. But the idea is, when you go ahead and you daven, you never pray as an individual. You pray as part of the Jewish collective. So everything is always raised. It also teaches us, because part of the idea of tefillah also is it's very easy for tefillah to become a very self-centered process. I need this. Give me this. Please give me this bracha. Give me that. So we make it in the plural to say, first of all, when we daven, we join with the collective. And number two, when we daven, we never just daven for ourselves, because chances are, if I need something, someone else needs it as well. So if Rashi comes along and says, okay, although it's phrased in the plural, this is not about national suffering. This is about personal tzaros. And I say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please redeem me from my difficulties. What types of difficulties are we referring to? So look at number three. Rav Hirsch here makes a very beautiful observation. Rav Hirsch writes, just by the way, you know, I really have to give you a little bit of background. When I quote Rav Hirsch over here, Rav Hirsch wrote an actual commentary on the Siddur. You can go, I'm assuming you could buy it here in the local Swarm stores as well, and you could buy something called the Hirsch Siddur. So you can actually buy it. You could buy it in Hebrew or in English, and it's a regular Siddur. I mean, Rav Hirsch was a German, so I don't know, maybe it has certain differences in the Tfilos, but Rav Hirsch has a running commentary just the same way as like the Art Scroll. You could buy the Hirsch Siddur as us. That's what I'm quoting to you. So Rav Hirsch writes over the following. Re'ei, so we're asking Hashem to see our affliction. So Rav Hirsch points out something very interesting. Now you'll notice again, very often, I mentioned this last week when we spoke about Slicha and Nechila, that the unique part of Lashon HaKodesh about Hebrew is that there are really no such thing as synonyms. Two words might be translated the same way, but in Hebrew, no two words mean the same thing. Same way that last week we translated Slicha and Nechila both as what? Both as forgiveness or pardon. But the truth is, they mean dramatically different things. So Rav Hirsch picks up on something very interesting. Rav Hirsch says, if you'll notice, we say two things. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Re'ei ba'anyenu, see our suffering, v'riva rivenu, fight our fight. So Rav Hirsch says, what does this mean? Anyenu is affliction which is not caused by the hostility of others, versus rivenu, the trouble that befalls us as a result of the unjustified conduct of our fellow men. So if Hirsch posits that there are two types of tsaras that people encounter in life, what's the first type? So you have to be careful with this. I don't want to say self-inflicted, but sometimes we do get ourselves into significant trouble. Sometimes we make bad mistakes. Sometimes we make just bad decisions. And we end up saddled with the consequences of those negative decisions. Yes?
So this would also include all kinds of diseases which are not necessarily self-caused.
No, it's not diseases, because remember, sickness gets its own bracha, rifa'inu. Rifa'inu. So this, what we're really talking about over here, what we're saying is, this is, here, it doesn't refer to parnasa, to your livelihood, because parnasa has its own bracha. It doesn't refer to physical ailments, because sickness has its own bracha. You know what this really refers to? This refers to the fact that sometimes we just get ourselves into bad situations in life. Nothing to do with my physical health, nothing to do with my parnasa. Just, I get myself into bad circumstances. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me see anyenu, see the difficulties that, again, I want to be clear, it doesn't have to mean that it's self-inflicted, but what it means is that it's not because of someone else. You know, sometimes things just happen and it has a negative consequence on me, or sometimes I make bad decisions, and as a result, I find myself in the midst or saddled with my negative consequences. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see the difficulties that I encounter, either because I have brought them on myself, or because circumstances have occurred in such a way that I'm literally mired in difficulties. And also, Riva Rivenu. You know what we acknowledge in Shemona Esrei? You know, it's an interesting thing. In Judaism, we have a concept of being dan lekaf sechus, right? We try to give everyone the benefit of the doubt. But there are times in life where there is no benefit of the doubt because people do things wrong. Somebody wrongs me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Riva Rivenu. I'm wronged by others. Help fight that battle for me. Because the truth is, sometimes when we're wronged by others, there are halachic injunctions that prevent us from taking revenge. There are halachic injunctions that sometimes prevent us from going ahead and doing back to that individual. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see that I'm wrong. Fight my fight for me. So Re'ei Ba'anyenu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see the difficulties I encounter, because either because of my decisions or because of life. Riva Riveinu, see that I've been wronged by others and fight my fights. Why? Oge'aleinu Mehera Liman Shemecha. And God, redeem me either from the results of my own bad decisions and redeem me from the hurt that others have visited upon me. Why? Liman Shemecha, for your name. Rav Hirsch goes on. If our own merits should not be sufficient to justify such deliverance, then God, deliver us for the sake of the loving kindness and compassion which your name assures us. So Rav Hirsch points out over here, you know, the Jew always leverages his or her prayer. You know, because again, on one hand, we each have merit. We each have merit, and hopefully we each have a lot of merit. And the truth is, it could be that our merit should be enough to carry the day for us. But if we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what? It could be that I don't have the requisite merit. But even if I don't have the requisite merit, I'm asking you to do these things. Why? Leman Shemecha, for your name. Understand, whenever you see something like that, what we are ultimately doing is we are appealing to God as a parent. Because a parent will do for a child even if the child doesn't deserve it. A parent will do for a child because when the child is in pain, the parent is in pain. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm in pain. Sometimes it's because of bad things I did to myself. Sometimes it's because of the hurt that others have inflicted upon me. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm asking you to help extricate me from my difficult circumstances. Hopefully, I merit the extraction from the difficult straits of life on my own merit. But if I don't, uga'alinu mehera leman shenecha. Not just extract us, but extract us how? Quickly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's difficult. You have to understand something also. We'll get to this when we speak about the bracha of parnasa, but part of what we also recognize is it's not just that we're looking to avoid pain. We also understand that our difficult circumstances often prevent us from accomplishing the things that we need to accomplish. When a person suffers, whether it's because of decisions I made or because of hurt that others are visiting upon me, that holds me back. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the quicker you can extract me from these difficult circumstances, the faster I can get back to accomplishing what I need to accomplish. So according to Rav Hirsch, the personal suffering that Rashi is describing, that is the very subject of this bracha, is broken down into two categories. Anyenu, which is the difficulty and pain that we experience either because of things we brought upon ourselves or just because of life circumstances. And Rivenu, the hurt that others have visited upon us. But if you look at number four, the Nesiv Bina, yes?
If like you were in the flood, would that be in this? You know, when it ruined your house, would that be included in this category?
I guess that would also be included in the Parnasa Bracha of Baruch Hu. But it could be, yeah, I'll tell you, the beauty of Shemona Esrei is you could daven for anything you want, wherever you want. If you think it fits, then it fits. So if a person is in a state of a natural disaster, and they say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at the negative circle. I didn't do this to myself, obviously. I'm a victim here. Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at number four. The Nesiv Bina quotes an amazing idea. If you look by the arrow, he says, what are we referring to over here? Re'e bi'inui nafshenu hasho'efes la'asos ma'asin tovim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see the pain. Now remember, according to Rav Hirsch, this is a very real physical pain. This could either be, or it can also be an emotional pain. The pain that either I've inflicted upon myself or the others have been inflicted upon me. The Nesiv Bina says no. And what kind of pain are we talking about over here? Spiritual pain. Spiritual pain. What's a spiritual pain I have? It's seeing the pain of my soul that so desires to do good. Ve'ein banu koach leiskaber ala yitzhar hara. See, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much good I want to do, yet what? I can't. Why can't I? Because my yitzhar hara, the pushes and pulls that I experience internally, derail me. They hold me back. Riva ata rivenu imo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need you to fight the fight with my yitzhar hara. And I need you to redeem me from it. Leman nuchal la'avdecha b'leivav shalim, in order that I can go ahead and serve you with a complete heart. So this is such a different understanding of this. So according to the Nesiv Bina, we're not davening for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to redeem us from the pain of decisions we've made or circumstances which we find ourselves. We're not asking God to redeem us from the hurt that others have visited upon us. Just the opposite. Not just the opposite. We're asking God to redeem us from the emotional, spiritual pain that each of us experience on some level. What is that pain? It's the pain of knowing that I'm not the person I can and need to be. Ribono shel olam, I know deep down I can be more. I know deep down I can do more. I know that there's so much more I could accomplish. I know that there's so much more I can do. So what holds me back? The Yetzer Hara. Now remember, as I've said many a time, the Yetzer Hara is not the little guy on your shoulder with a pitchfork who's trying. The Yetzer Hara refers to, you know what the Gemara says? The Gemara says that Hu Yetzer Hara, Hu Malach HaMaves, Hu Satan. It's actually interesting. The Gemara says that the Yetzer Hara, evil inclination, Satan, which doesn't really have a good English translation, because if you translate it as Satan, that actually is not correct, because Satan is a Christian concept. So Satan and Malach HaMaves, the angel of death, they're all the same thing. So how could that be? What does that mean? What's the common denominator between the Malach HaMaves, Satan, and Zahara? These are all forces that prevent us from accomplishing, right? The greatest force that prevents us from accomplishing is death, right? Death brings all dynamic life activity to a grinding halt. So what the Gemara is saying is, Yetzirah, Satan, Malach HaMaves, these are the forces in life that undermine our ability to gain traction, to accomplish, and to grow. So says the Nesiv Bina, what we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is the following, Re'ei ba'anenu, God, see my struggle. What am I struggling with? I'm struggling with my Yetzirah. I'm struggling with all the forces in life that seek to derail me. And by the way, we all have these forces. We all have forces in life that pull us back. Sometimes it's a negative peer group. Sometimes it's some other life handicap. So whatever it may be, all of us have this Satan Yetzirah Malach HaMaves dynamic that just holds us back. And often that force is something that we cannot overcome on our own. So you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see my struggle. See the spiritual struggle. I'm being held back by certain factors and circumstances in life. I want to be more. Riva Rivenu. You, God, need to help me fight the fight. You need to help me fight against the Yetzer Hara. Uge'alenu, you need to redeem me from it. Mehira, and it's got to be quick. Why? Because every moment that you don't redeem me from the clutches of the Yetzer Hara, what happens? It's another moment that I'm not accomplishing. Uge'aleman shemecha, why do I want all of this? Why do I want you to redeem me, to help redeem me from the Yetzer Hara? Why do I want it? To serve you. All I'm asking for you, from you, is for your help to help me serve you. Help me so I can be a better Jew and better serve you. Because you are the only one who ultimately can help me in this struggle. Now, what's unique about this is the following. What's fascinating about this what's not so fascinating about this? Right? What's unique about this? I should have actually put this on the Gemara. You know, there's an amazing Gemara with Sechas Nida. The Gemara says that when a woman becomes pregnant, so the Malach Hamamuna Alai Rayon, the angel who's in charge of conception. Now, it doesn't literally mean in charge of conception because the Ribono Shel Olam is in charge of conception. But the Malach who oversees the pregnancy, brings the tipa, brings the little fetal drop to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, tipa zu matehe aleha. What's going to be with this little tipa? This little tipa is going to form, going to ultimately grow into a person. What is this person going to be? And the Malach goes through a whole list of questions. Chacham o tipesh. Is he going to be smart or not so smart? Aruch gutz. Is he going to be tall or short? Good looking, not good looking. Wealthy, poor. All a whole bunch of different questions. The Gemara says there's one glaring omission. What doesn't the Malach ask? Tzadik o rasha. Tzadik or Rasha. And the Gemara is intrigued by this because the truth is, does the Malach really care if I'm going to be rich or poor? The Malach cares about that. Meaning the most important thing that the Malach should be concerned about is, am I going to be a tzaddik? Is the tipa, is the little fetal drop going to be tzaddik or Rasha? And the Gemara says, no, the Malach doesn't ask that. Why? Why? Because hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyiras shamayim. Because God determines if I'm rich or poor. God determines if I'm tall or short. God determines if I'm good looking or not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu determines a whole bunch of different things. But the one thing God does not determine is the spiritual quality or the spiritual caliber of my persona. If I'm going to be a tzaddik, I'm going to be a rasha, that is up to me. So the Malach doesn't even waste his time. God knows, because God knows everything. But the Malach doesn't even bother asking that question to the Ribono Shel Olam because it's not up to God. So what's strange about this bracha is what? So according to the Siv Bina, here I am asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do what for me? Now, by the way, this is a little bit more than help. What am I really asking God for? I'm really asking him to fight the battle, right? Meaning, this is not just assistance. If you notice, by the way, the bracha doesn't say, God, help me fight. Let's fight the battle together. Let's partner together. What I'm saying to Ribono Shel Olam is what? You do it. You do it. Re'ei ba'anyu. So first, God recognized the struggle. And then what do I say? Riva rivenu. You fight the battle against my Yetzirah. Uge'aleinu. Redeem me already. Mehera. So it's strange. Because here, again, I apologize. I really should have put this Gemara on the page. But here, on one hand, you have the Gemara saying, Hakol bidei shan chutz miyiras shamayim. And remember, what's interesting, remember beforehand, is, well, okay. So why do we have the Gemara telling us that really the spiritual quality of my life is up to me? And here, when I speak about the spiritual struggles I have, it's almost like I'm putting it under the Ribono Shel Olam's shoulders and almost absolving myself of the responsibility. Take a look at number 5. The Gemara Maseches Kiddushin addresses this. And the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Kasha Yetzir Hara. Sha'afilu yotzro karora. The Yetzihara, the pushes and pulls that man experiences internally, are bad. It's evil. And how do I know that? Because even its creator calls it evil. Shene emar, ki yetzir leiv ha'adam ra minuara. Meaning, the Ribono Shel Olam created the Yetzihara, and yet what? The Ribono Shel Olam calls it ra. He calls it evil as well. For the creator of an entity to call it Ra is quite significant. Amar Rav Yitzchak, listen to this. Yitzro shel adam mischadish alav b'chol yom. A person's yitzer, a person's evil, negative inclination, renews itself each and every day. Shene emar, rak ra kol yom. Now here what Rav Yitzchak is quoting is a fascinating idea, which is that the only time a person really ever vanquishes the Yitzhara is when? When you're dead. So the moment that you stop, the moment that you could stop worrying about the quality of your soul is when you die. It's actually what Hillel says. When Hillel says, Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom mosecha. Don't believe in yourself until the day that you die. As long as you're living and breathing, you are not impervious to the advances of the Yetzirah. And what the Gemara says is, you know what the dynamic of human nature is? That a person can have a whole wonderful string of days, weeks, you know, months, years, where they're able to battle the Yitzhar, but yet what? So normally, you know, the more proficient you become at something, the easier it becomes for you. So one would think that the more days you go ahead and you battle the Yitzhar Hara, then what? The easier it should be to vanquish it. And yet, comes on Reb Shimon and says, it's not true. actually, the more you beat the Yetzer Hara down, the stronger he becomes. Now, what that means is that a person is never impervious. You know, there's an amazing, Rav Soloveitchik tells a story. Soloveitchik tells a story about his great grandfather, Chaim Brisker, that Rav Chaim Brisker was known. Chaim Brisker was a community rav. He was a rav in Brisk, and Rav Chaim Brisker said that the job of a rav is to do chesed. His job is not to give shiurim. His job is not to give drash. His job of a rav is to do chesed. So Rav Chaim Brisker was quoted as saying, somebody once remarked that he's such a baal chesed, and he said, "I'm not a baal chesed." Well, he said, "Actually, my disposition is very selfish and egocentric. I actually really care much more about myself than I do anyone else." But he said, "I work on myself each and every day to try to become a selfless person." And Rav Chaim Brisker said, "Every single day, it's a struggle." So Rav Chaim Brisker, every single day, it's a struggle because I have to work against my very nature of the person, almost like I was born. So I have to fight against that to become the person I know I need to be. So Reb Shimon is saying over here, Yitzro sha'adam miskabra la b'choyu mevakir shamiso. Ultimately, excuse me, Reb Yitzro says, Yitzro sha'adam miskadish choyu. You think you beat the Yetzer Hara. And again, it sounds like a very elementary statement. You think that you overcome the pushes and pulls in life and therefore it becomes easier? Does it become easier? You have to wage the battles each and every day. And sometimes actually what it looks like is that the more successful you are, the harder the challenges become. The Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Shimon Levi, Yitzo sha'adam iskabra la b'chol yom. The Yetzer Hara, the pushes and pulls of a person, try to overcome him each and every day. Umevakish hamiso, and try to kill him. Now, what does it mean, umevakish hamiso? Not literally try to kill him, but try to deprive him of life. So the Yetzer Hara, again, and remember, these are all just the innate carnal desires that we each have that push us and pull us in all different directions. It seeks to overcome us. The El Mole, look how the Gemara ends. The El Mole HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ozro Ein Yacholo. So how do we defeat the Yetzer Hara? If indeed it is so strong, it's only because how? Because what? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu lends us a helping hand each and every day. God is here to assist us. The Ribono Shel Olam assists us unbeknownst to us each and every day. And without divine assistance, we would never be able to even combat the Yetzer. You know, there's another Mishnah of Avos. The Mishnah says, if you learn a lot of Torah, the Mishnah says, don't give yourself a big shkoyach. Why not? Kilakach notzart. Because that's why you were created. So the Maharal of Prague has a beautiful insight in that Mishnah. He says, you know what that means? He says, if you think about it, there's nothing we accomplish in life on our own. You know, he gives an example. A person puts on tefillin in the morning. You know, in order to put on tefillin, the fine motor skills a person has to have to be able to do that. I have to have arms. That's number one. I have to have the fine motor skills to be able to put it on my arm. So who gives that to me? That's the Ribono Shel Olam. We sit here, we come, we listen to a shir. So what happens? I have to hear. I have to have the ability to hear. I have to have eyesight. Who gives that? It's Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Maharal says, you know, you don't really get a shkayach for too much in life because you're not doing it on your own. The Ribono Shel Olam is the facilitator of anything and everything we do. But the one thing we control is our bechira. We still have to make a conscious decision to do something. But after making the conscious decision, the ability to actually carry through on the act comes from our Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara is saying over here, even the Yetzer Hara, yes, we have to make a conscious decision to overcome the inner pushes and pulls that seek to weigh us down. But at the end of the day, if we are successful in overcoming the Yetzer Hara, we get some. You have to take some credit for yourself because I made a conscious decision to do that. But at the end of the day, the only reason I'm successful is why? Is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses to help me. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu lends his divine hand of support. And that's what's happening in this bracha. Are we seeking to put it all on God's shoulders? Of course not. Nothing in life that works that way. You can't put everything on God's shoulders. You have to put in your own ishtadlus. We have to put in our effort. And then after I put in my effort, what we're saying is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what I'm recognizing from the beginning is, I'll put in all the effort humanly possible to vanquish the Yetzer Hara. But there's one thing I know crystal clear, which is, I can't do it alone. The Yetzer Hara, the pushes and pulls that you got embedded within me, that you got created as part of the fabric of my being, it's too strong for me to vanquish on my own. It'll only work out if you become my partner. It only works if you pledge your support towards this endeavor as well. In fact, look at number six. The Gemara of Sex Rishon says something so beautiful. We know we have the Yud Gimel Midos, the 13 attributes. Remember, in the aftermath of the sin of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu lobbies God to forgive the Jewish people. And Moshe Rabbeinu is very concerned that what's going to happen? The Jewish people will inevitably sin again in the future. And maybe there will not be such a powerful advocate like a Moshe Rabbeinu to advocate on their behalf. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, how are we going to be saved in the future? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him an actual prayer right from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God gives us the words, Hashem, Hashem, Ke'orachum, Mechanun. That's why Yomim Noraim. We recite that formulation over and over and over. Why? Because it's a tefillah that we receive directly from the Ribono Shel Olam. You understand what that means? God says to us, say this, and I will help you. So what's interesting over here is the following. If you look at number six, the Gemara Maseches Hashana goes through each of these attributes. So the Gemara says, Hashem, Hashem. Now the obvious question is, why two? Why two Hashems? So look what the Gemara writes. Anihu kodem shiyachta Adam, va'anihu la'achar shiyachta Adam yaseh tshuva. I am God before man sins, and I am God after man sins and does tshuva. So the Aruch Laner, number seven, Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger, you can see his biography over here, asks a very simple question. He says, he quotes the Rosh, HaRosh Hiksha Lama Tzorich Rachamim Terem Chet. So what the Gemara is saying is like this. The name Hashem means compassion. I am God who has compassion before the sin, and I am God who has compassion after the sin. Now, post-sin compassion, we know we need. Why? Why? This goes back to last week's shir. Because every sin brings with it onesh, punishment. So I need compassion to like get a stay for the punishment. I need compassion to keep the punishment in check and give me an opportunity to get things in order. But why do I need divine compassion prior to the sin? So the Aruch Laner writes the following. He says, "V'tireitz." First he quotes the Rosh. So the Rosh asks this question, why do I need pre-sin compassion? V'tireitz, shelo ya'anesh af shechote lebasof asher musham. This is interesting. So the Rosh gives a very interesting answer. The Rosh says, because God knows what I'm going to do before I do it, so one might have thought that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish me for what? For what he knows I'm going to do even before I do it. So the Rosh says, oh, that's the first Hashem. The first Hashem says that the Ribono Shel Olam has compassion. God exercised divine compassion until when? Until the point that I actually commit the sin, even though he knew from the beginning I was going to do it. But the Aruch Laner gives an additional answer. He says, Ula anias daiti, yesh lefarish api ma'adamina b'sukka. Look what he quotes. He quotes our Gemara. Yitzro shel adam miskaber alav b'chol yom, v'ilmali HaKadosh Baruch Hu ozro lo yacholo, v'ein lecha midas harachamim gadol mizeh, sh'HaKadosh Baruch Hu ozro kodem shiyachta. Writes the Aruch Laner. You know what the first Hashem, the first divine compassion represents? It means that God is always helping us fight the Yetzirah. God is always infusing us with additional strength to meet our challenges. The Ribono Shel Olam is always helping us even prior to the sin. So according to the Aruch Laner, Hashem, Hashem is two states of divine compassion. The second Hashem is the one we're familiar with. That's the divine compassion post-sin. God will give us the opportunity. God will give us the time to try to right the wrongs, to try to fix that which is broken, and to try to get myself back on track. But there's also the first Hashem, which is Hashem pre-sin. Where's the divine compassion pre-sin? The divine compassion often happens in ways that we are not even aware of. God is helping us meet our challenges each and every day, in each and every moment, and often we're not even aware. Sometimes when we meet the challenge and we take credit for it for ourselves, yes, we should take some of the credit, but also realize that whenever we're successful in overcoming a life challenge, that's only because the Ribono Shel Olam has girded us with an additional level of divine strength and staying power. Hashem, Hashem. God has compassion before the sin because he helps me fight the Yetzer Hara and often avoid the commission of sin altogether. And second Hashem, post-sin. If I fall, if I fail, he exhibits compassion and allows me to get back up and right the wrong, which is now interesting as well, because now this helps us understand an interesting bracha distinction. If you look at number eight, so right before we begin Shmor Esrei, we say, Sur Yisrael, Kuma Be'ezras Yisrael, Tekun Mech Vidav Yisrael, Go'alinu Hashem Tzva'os Shemo Kedosh Yisrael. We again ask God to redeem us. We say Baruch Atah Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael. Now, Ga'al, now what's interesting is it almost sounds the same as number one, right? What's the difference between number one and number nine? Number eight, excuse me. What's the difference? Tense, right? Number eight, which is the bracha before Shemona Esrei, is past tense. Ga'al Yisrael, you redeemed the people, past tense. Number one, which is in this bracha, redemption, Gula, it's present tense. Ga'al Yisrael. Now it makes sense. Because what is number eight referring to? Ga'al Yisrael. It's talking about the redemption from Egypt. Ga'al Yisrael, you are the God who redeemed us from Egypt. Why do we say that right before Shemona Esrei? Why do we say that? Because what is Shemona Esrei all about? At its core, what is it all about? Requests, introspection, yes, but primarily it's requests. So in order to go ahead and supplicate and request before God, I have to believe that God has the ability to grant my request. So what do we say? Baruch Atah Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. God, you are a proven entity. You are the God who took us out of Egypt. You are the God who redeemed us. You are the God who came through in the past. Because you are the God who came through in the past, I believe with a complete heart that what? That you could come through for me now. But now, when we go back to number one in this bracha, what are we talking about over here? We're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, you help me deal with my challenges. Challenges, what tense? What tense? Present. Go El Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have challenges. We all have challenges each and every day. I have challenges each and every moment. I run into all different types of life challenges. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are the one who helps redeem me present tense. I'm not talking about some historical event. I'm not talking about some future event. I'm talking about the challenges that I face right now, and you, Ribono Shel Olam, help to extricate me from them. So what we have over here is the following. What we have basically, we have Rashi, number two, who told us that what are we talking about over here? We're talking not about national crises, but rather we're talking about individual crises, the day-to-day sorrows. Soros haba'os alinu tamid. Chodesh Baruch will help extricate me from my difficulties. What type of difficulties? Two approaches. According to Rav Hirsch, what type of difficulties? Two types, right? Number one, right? Re'ei ba'anyenu. Anyenu refers to just life difficulties. Either life difficulties because sometimes life throws things my way that I didn't do anything to create this situation, but the situation just occurred to me. Or sometimes I do create the situations. I make bad decisions, and now I'm saddled with the fallout of my decisions, or on rivarivenu, or sometimes hurt or difficulties visited upon me from others. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help extricate me from my personal tzaras. Nisiv bina, no, it has nothing to do with life situations, or I should say nothing to do with pain from others, or pain from bad decisions that I made, but rather, what are we asking God to redeem us from? Yetzahara, God, I want to be a good person. I want to be a spiritual person. I want to be a holy person. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's hard because I have a lot of things internally that weigh me down. Ribono Shel Olam, I can't escape the clutches of the Yetzer Hara by myself. Unless you think that it's just because I'm lazy. Unless you think that it's just because I'm not trying hard enough. For that, we saw the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says that the Yetzer Hara is too powerful for me to battle alone. I need your assistance. Help me. Why am I asking you for help? Because I want to serve you. Help me serve you. Help me be a better Jew. Help me be a better person. Baruch Atah Hashem, Goel Yisrael. I need you in the here and now to help extricate me from my circumstances. Finally, I want to draw your attention to this lashon of Re'eh. I always find this wording very interesting. If you look back at number one for just a moment, so the bracha says, Re'eh ba'anyenu, see our affliction. So what's interesting is always Re'eh, because there are so many different words you can use. You could say, hear my afflictions, hear my supplications, hear my cries. What does it mean when it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, see my afflictions? So I think it's actually interesting because I think the answer to this is actually in this week's parasha. If you look at number nine, this is a pasuk from Shemos. So the Torah says, "Vayomer Hashem." This is God speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is God speaking to Moshe by the burning bush. Remember, there's the whole episode by the burning bush where Moshe, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu essentially takes Moshe Rabbeinu captive. Moshe doesn't really have much of a choice about assuming the mantle of leadership. God conscripts him into the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Vayomer Hashem, God says to Moshe, listen to this, Ra'o Ra'isi. Now Ra'o Ra'isi means what? Literally, I have, right, so we translate over here as I have surely seen. What it really means is Tristrate translation is I have seen. Es ani ami asher b'Mitzrayim ve'es tzak asam shamati. I have seen their affliction. I have heard their cries b'nei noksa because of their taskmasters. Ki adati es machovav. I know their pains. So the Mefarshim all try to understand ra'o ra'isi. What does it mean ra'o ra'isi? Why the double osh? What does it mean when God sees something? What is it? And remember, there's like bookends over here. The pasuk begins by saying that God sees, and then what does the pasuk end with? Not God sees, but what? God knows. Ki adati es machov. So what does this mean? So there's a beautiful Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi writes in number 10 the following idea. He says, 10 Aleph. Ra'o ra'isi es ani ami. Ki adati es machov. Listen to this. Ha'inyan digam ha'adam ba'atzmo lo yuchal leida machove atzmo. Very often, people don't even know the full extent of their personal pain. Now, what does that mean? So the Beis Halevi gives a marshal. He says, if it's a parable, Kimo, Ashir Gadol Shiyarad Minachasav, V'Na'asa Ani Gadol. He gives an example. Let's say he had a person who was very wealthy, and the person lost all of his wealth and became exceptionally impoverished. V'Hu Benkach U'Benkach Hurgal Ma'at. So what happens? God blessed us with an incredible trait called, right? You have the ability to adapt. We are very adaptable beings. And by the way, that is the greatest bracha. Because if we didn't have the bracha of adaptation, if that's a word, the ability to adapt, then again, you know what would happen? Circumstances in life would change. And then what would happen? We'd crumble. And that's a big problem because the circumstances of life change all of the time. So the Beis Halevi says, watch this. So the person, we'll call him Ruvain. So Ruvain was fabulously wealthy. Now what happens? He loses all of his money. He becomes stunningly impoverished. So what happens? At first, he doesn't know how to deal with these circumstances. But what happens over time? He adapts. Hurga. Vigam. Now listen to this. As a basically, you know what even happens later on? Vigam nishkach mimenu goldal ma'aloso shahaya lo mikodem. And you know what happens over time? Over time, he even begins to forget the fact that once upon a time, he was so wealthy. Over time, he begins to forget about what his previous standing was. And let's say he came from a family of money, right? So remember, over time, at first when he loses his wealth, the pain is acute. Over time, he'll adapt. When he adapts, he'll even begin to forget about the fact that he was once wealthy. And he certainly will forget about the fact that he came from a wealthy family. Says, if you think about it, what happens over time is Reuven will have pain, but his pain will be rooted in his current circumstances. I don't have enough to eat. I can't pay my bills. I'm impoverished. I have this difficulty, I have that difficulty. But he loses the context. He loses the context because if you think about it, what the Beis Halevi is saying is when we suffer a significant life descent, there are two parts to our pain. There's the acute pain of our current circumstances, and there's what? There's the pain of loss of standing. I was once here, and now I'm here. So what happens is when we adapt, we forget about the contextual pain because we're pretty much just focused on the present pain. So the Beis Halevi says over here, he quotes over here, focusing on the parasha, "V'chein Yisrael b'Mitzrayim rubam lo yadu klal ma'alasim hagadolu b'chala pratim." When our forefathers were in Egypt, so the truth is, they forgot about their exalted standing. "Hein b'shleimos hanefesh v'hein b'inyani gufni b'mei Avram Yitzchak v'Yakov v'lo hirgishu rak dochak shal achoshav shosov l'mata v'zeu sh'amar akasov Ra'o ra'isi es ani ami b'Mitzrayim ve'es tsa'akasam shamati mipnei noksav ki adati es machovav dehim ba'atzmam inam yodim machovam u'nefilasam kama gadla ve'inam tsa'akim rak mipnei noksav shesovim eno ke'es aval anochi adati. So basically this is something amazing. What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu see? God says, Ra'o ra'isi es ani ami Hashem Mitzrayim. God says, I really see the pain. You see, what do they feel? They feel the present pain. They feel the crack of the whip. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I see the pain in its totality. Why? Because I know who they were. I know where they come from. I know where they hail from. You see, they've forgotten about all that because they're so overwhelmed by their present pain that they don't have even the luxury of thinking about contextualized pain. They've forgotten about the fact that the pain that they feel with the crack of the whip is actually tenfold, because not only are they being cracked, but not only are they hit by the whip, but they've descended so low from the spiritual and lofty levels in which their forefathers occupied. They forgot about that. By the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Ra'o Ra'isi. I see their pain. I see their pain for what it is. I know who they were, and I know how far they have fallen. Not just the present pain they are experiencing now, I see the whole descent. And perhaps we could plug this same definition into our bracha. What do we say in this bracha over here? Re'e ba'anyenu. What do we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We say to God, you know, the greatest challenge in life is that one day, and this happens to all of us in different ways, but you know, we wake up one day and we have a startling revelation. What's the startling revelation? That the person that I am is not the person I wanted to be. Yeah, and if you don't have that revelation, it's just because you're not thinking enough. Right? Everybody has to have that revelation, because if you are the person you wanted to be, I have bad news for you. It means that you have very low expectations. You're all wonderful people. But again, if you feel accomplished, because yeah, I'm exactly where I want to be, that's just because you've set the bar too low. A person should never be the person. I'm a work in progress. I'm happy with the progress I've made, but I know that I still have to do more. So we say, you know what happens is sometimes we have this moment in life, whether it's Yamim Noraim or other times, where a person has realization that I know where I once was. I know where I once was, and I know where I am now. Or I know where I could be, and I know where I am now. And that's a very humbling revelation and realization. When a person is honest with who and what they are, what I am and what I'm not. See my pain. What pain are we referring to over here? It's the pain of a failed self-actualization. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, deep down, I know the person I could be. I know the person I should be. And you know what? Deep down, I know I'm not there. And that causes me an incredible amount of pain. And Ribono Shel Olam, if that causes me pain, I could only imagine what? The pain it causes you. Why? Because whatever conception I have of what I can be, the Ribono Shel Olam knows for sure what I can be. And the Ribono Shel Olam knows that whatever I think I could accomplish, chances are I could accomplish 10 times more. So Ribono Shel Olam, re'e ba'anyenu. See my suffering. It hurts me to know that I'm not living up to my potential. It hurts me to know that I'm not living life in the personality that I know I could possess. It hurts me to know that I have not become the person I know I have the ability to become. But if it hurts me, how much more so it must hurt you. Ra'o Ra'isi. Because you are the God who does. You see, I adapt. So, you know, I know what I could be. But the truth is, I adapt to where I am. And so because of I adapt, I also tend to lower my standards a little bit. But Ribono Shel Olam, you don't adapt. You know what I could be. And every single day, you have to look at what? You have to look at the person I am. And you have to contrast that with what? With the person you know, Ribono Shel Olam, I can be. And I have to imagine, God, that causes you a lot of pain. As a parent, what causes the greatest amount of pain? The greatest amount of pain a parent could ever experience is what? Truth is, it's not even when your child is ill. And it's not, what's the greatest parental pain? The greatest parental pain is when you see that your child fails to sprout their wings. When you see that your child fails to self-actualize. When you see that your child is sitting there and they're sitting on top of a mountain of potential, and they are squandering it away, and they're not doing anything, and they're not actual. It hurts. It hurts. You see the beauty that is trapped within that child. And so we say to Ribono Shel Olam, you know what? I'm your child. And I know how frustrated I am with my lack of accomplishment. I know how frustrated I am because I know what I am doing, and I also know what I should be doing. And Ribono Shel Olam, if I feel that pain, how much pain you must be experiencing. But here's the amazing part. So it is here, Kadosh Baruch Hu, There's good news. What's the good news? Let's partner together. Re'i ba'anyeinu. We have shared pain, and it's the pain of not living up to one's potential. Ribono shel, I feel it. Ribono shel, you feel it. And God, your pain is worse because you know what I really could be. I just have the conception. You know really what I could be. But there's good news, which is Riva Rivenu, help me fight this fight. Help me do this. Help me do this. I don't want to stay this way. And Ribono shel, you don't want me to stay this way. But I can't do it alone. The Yitzhara is too great. Life challenges are too great. The hurt that I endure at the hands of others is too great. So help me fight the fight. Uga'alenu, help me redeem myself and grow into myself. Mehira, I don't want to wait anymore. Because every day that I don't self-actualize, it hurts me, and Ribono shel Olam, it hurts you. Leman shemecha, and do it, why? Because if you help me, God, who are you really helping?
Yourself.
If you help me, you're helping yourself, because you're the parent who has to sit looking down every single day at a child who is not self-actualizing. I'm ready. I'm ready to partner with you to do battle against the circumstances in life, be them internal or external. Just partner with me and let's wage the battle together. Kigoa chazakato. Because you are the strongest redeemer, and without your help, I can't do it. Baruch ato Hashem goel Yisrael. My pain, my difficulty, my challenge is in present tense. Ribono shel Olam, you are the one who sees everything. We have a shared frustration, a shared difficulty, a shared set of challenges. Let's partner together. Help me overcome my challenges, and you will see that I will live up to my potential. You will see that I will regain that former luster. You will see that I will become the person I know I can be and the person you so desperately want me to be. All right, we'll stop over here for tonight. And then Hashem will continue next week with the 8th bracha. There is Marav in the base measures for whoever needs.